Board of Supervisors back into session. And I see we have it online for the Wildland update. Ms. Davis or Ms. Anna, you just let us know when Mr. Perry's ready for Supervisor Thompson. Or did that get pulled? We didn't vote on it.
It wasn't voted
on. Correct. Angela Davis, County Administrator. I would suggest that we continue that item to the next board meeting because he has research that he has to complete.
Okay, and we're fine time-wise on it. Okay. I didn't know what the deadline was for the mayor.
It's a receiving.
It's a receiving.
Okay. So wait till December. Ms. Wendy, do you need a motion to continue?
If it's consensus of the board, I'm fine to just continue it.
Consensus of the board to continue? Gives me another thing to cross here. And we'll go to...
six, thank you.
The Civic Court, so we have it online. Give your presentation.
Chair Chris, Supervisors, thank you for giving us some time today to talk to you a little bit about some of the investments we've been making into the county over the last year. I'm hoping, my name is Todd Andrus, I'm the Regional Business Manager for Pacific Power, that I serve this county amongst other counties in California and in Oregon. I'm hoping that this, with COVID now behind us, we can have this as an annual event where we just come in front of you and just kind of give you an update of what's going on in our lives. So, I would like to introduce you, Kevin Schiedler. He is really the director of our wildfire mitigation plan, and he not only is doing a lot of work here in Siskiyou County, but throughout the state of California and in Oregon. So, Kevin, please.
Thank you. And as I was introduced, Kevin Schiedler, Pacific Power Wildfire Mitigation Delivery Director. And you can move to the next slide, please. Okay, so far within Siskiyou County, we have completed over 60 miles of reconductoring overhead distribution lines to a cover conductor. Pictures one of the locations here in Siskiyou County. And as part of that, we've replaced over 1,200 transmission and distribution poles with non-wood alternatives. You'll see a lot of them are fiberglass. We're putting in more steel as the program goes along. We've completed replacement of 80 reclosers and relays. Those are protective devices that sectionalize lines when there is a fault. And then we've replaced over 800 pieces of expulsion equipment with non-expulsion equipment. Those are fuses and other devices that isolate the line. And the expulsion type has the potential for casting off hot material sparks. And we're replacing those with a non-expulsion technology that does not do that.
Excuse me, is that recent technology?
That stuff recent to us to deploy, I do not know patent date on it. Other utilities within California have started deploying that, and it was a new addition to our wildfire mitigation plan this last year.
Thank you.
Kevin?
Yes.
Is that covered cable, is that the Hendricks cable?
Hendricks cable is one of the technologies that we're deploying. We've also started deploying, it's called tree wire, but it's more traditional framing with a cross arm and conductors running on a cross arm instead of in the diamond bundle configuration. So we'll be deploying both of those throughout Siskiyou County and have several hundred additional miles to complete. The bundled conductor, it's preferable in areas with high vegetation, tall trees. It's more resilient to standing up to a tree branch or tree landing onto the line. You can go to the next slide. This is a map focusing in on the Dunsmuir area. That was an area that we focused our efforts initially. Cal Fire has this area mapped as a Tier 3 for the High Fire Threat District. So it was kind of an area we focused on first. To date, we've completed coming south from the Mott Airport down into Dunsmuir and South Dunsmuir. The covered conductor projects there are complete, with the exception of we have one rail crossing and one I-5 crossing that are being scheduled. Those take a lot of coordination with agencies to get complete. And then in next year, we will be completing What we have is our nut blade feeder installing covered conductor throughout that area. We've also replaced 5 of the 6 reclosers and relays in that area, with the final one being in nut blade to be complete next year. As we're deploying this, along with the covered conductor, we're installing the non-wood poles and non-expulsion equipment concurrent with that construction activity. The intent of this is to reduce the extent or frequency of a power safety public shutoff, or public safety power shutoff, sorry, acronym correct, and or to reduce the area where we would have to isolate in the event that there's a high wind event concurrent with drought conditions. Now you can move to the next slide. Overall, this shows kind of different feeders we have in progress. We're working throughout the Happy Camp area and the Weed area and Mount Shasta area currently. We're scoping out projects that are all of 2023 work is in design and being ready to start as of into the first of the year. And then we're scoping out projects for 24, 25, and 26 that we moved on. One item that I hadn't covered previously is we're installing fault circuit indicators. We have over 500 of those operational within California, which the bulk of those are within Siskiyou County. And that's to help us identify an area where there is a fault quicker, speed restoration times in the event that we have had to have our circuit isolate. And our goal for this year is to replace 2,269 of the expulsion fuses before year end. One item I didn't have on a slide that was kind of brought up earlier was rain gauges. We've installed 87 weather stations within California, all of which have weather stations, and those are publicly accessible. So if there's a need for weather or for rain gauges while you're trying to get rain gauges installed, you can help with that. So, you can go to the next slide. Undergrounding is another part of our system hardening. We've identified a couple areas where the confluence of permitting, cost for construction of overhead, and speed of completion of the project, it is favorable to underground our conductor. We're going to be doing that in Weed, adjacent to the Weed substation, and then going across Highway 97. And then there's a significant undergrounding project that goes up to the ski resort on Mount Shasta. We get above a certain elevation, and the code of construction for the overhead conductor would have us placing a significant number of new poles and at a significant cost, so undergrounding is favorable. And we've been working with the Forest Service on co-locating our new underground line in an existing Forest Service road, so we'll have access to it more frequently, and then abandoning the right-of-way that we have going through the forest. Working with the National Forest Service for that.
Does the Rule 20 money come into play here that the county holds?
So Rule 20A is where the county requests Pacific Corridor Underground, and then we have funding for that. I'm not an expert on that, but
I could help there.
Yeah, okay. Todd may be able to answer that better.
This work would not impact the Rule 20 credits that the county would have.
I guess what I'm after is can we use the county credits towards that?
If the county, in a broad statement, yes, the county would have to create an underground utility district. So not only Pacific Power would be required to go underneath, but all utilities would need to be doing that. And then that would be the kind of start of that process.
So when we put in, I'm going back to the Bowles fire,
yeah,
where the county used some of its credits,
yep,
underground, and
yep,
hopefully we'll be able to do that with the Mill fire as well.
We're working with them.
So it's just, but it's kind of millions of dollars sitting out there just not earning anything. So, I mean,
yeah,
for John Q. Public, I mean, how do we get the best bang for the buck out of that?
Yeah, and what I really want to caution is when we say it's not really dollars that are sitting out there,
it's credits. Yeah.
So ultimately, the consumers pay for that, mm-hmm, and it has to be budgeted out and planned and such. on unfortunate situations such as the fires that you're describing, when you have to go in and rebuild the infrastructure anyway, it's easier to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Agreed.
But to get back to your main point, it is. Now, the California Public Utility Commission has stopped the accumulation of credits. I believe that started in early 2022, it was 21 or 22. And they are will be directing us on different plans of what they're in this area. So the credits that you have today is really the only credits you have left.
Right. Understood.
So, and I think the county has about 5 million.
Yeah. That. No, I understand. I'm just trying to facilitate a way to use.
Understood.
I would say that that amount of money is a lot of money, but it doesn't control a lot of underground.
It goes real quick.
Yeah, understood. And then lastly, on the undergrounding that you're going to be doing from the Weed substation across 97, is that going up through Carrick?
Sorry, going through?
Carrick, I don't know what else to call it.
Lincoln?
Huh?
Lincoln Heights?
No. It's because the substation's right there by Carrick. But when you say you're going across 97, it sounds like you're going through Carrick, where that line is carrying to the south. Is that what you're doing?
We'll be paralleling 97 to the south for about a quarter mile and going straight across.
South?
Highway 97 is north south.
Which substation? There's two on 97. There's one right there by
Carrick.
There's another one closer to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which one is it?
It's the southern of the two.
So the one main in the city of Weed.
Yeah,
okay.
I believe so.
Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
But we'll take both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just be the area towards the southern of the two substations, and we know it as the Weed substations.
Okay.
And obviously, you guys don't look at our infrastructure really that much. Any other questions on that slide?
Any other questions, colleagues? That's President.
And I think my next slide is just for general questions. Yeah.
Sure to help.
I'm going to throw something out here. Something that I'm asked all the time, drives me nuts, is tree zinc. You know, I get a lot of complaints about tree zinc.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the vegetative stuff. I just can't figure out. It looks like a waste of money to me, but there's reasons for it. Why? They come back to the same tree and prune it every year. Cut the dang thing down. It's growing underneath the power line. And I have one utilities in my neighborhood are underground, except for the transmission line coming in.
Okay.
And we effectively have a pine hedgerow, you know, growing underneath the power lines of small trees that trees inc comes in and prunes every year. Why? Yeah, don't you have a right to just clear what's underneath your power line?
Yeah, so thank you for that question. I know you have extensive knowledge in this area. What I feel better is to get one of our foresters to come and explain the system. There are some federal guidelines that they kind of follow on how they do the pruning and what they prune and what they don't. But if there's concerns that you see, please let me know, and I will make sure our vegetation management knows.
Well, I can understand. You know, the tree along the edge that has a limb growing in.
Right.
I can understand that piece, but young trees growing up right underneath and brush right underneath the power line that gets a manicure every year. Just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's the height of the vegetation versus to the line,
yeah.
and I know that's what they look at and such. But I think what would be great is that we come maybe in the first quarter of next year before they start doing their process through the county, and maybe I can have them give you about a 5 or 10 minute kind of talk about that.
I only bring it up because it looks to me like you could use your money a lot more effective if some of those practices were changed.
Thank you for
a lot
that.
More done.
Yeah, no, thank you for that comment, and we'll follow back up.
Okay.
Any other questions, colleagues? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your presentation. Item 6B. Now we'll do the item 7A, departmental requests. This is agriculture, Mr. Smith. California Wildlife Conservation Board letter regarding herbicides.
Good morning, Jim Smith, Siskiyou County Agricultural Commissioner. I am coming to you today to ask for your consideration on a letter to the Wildlife Conservation Board regarding the use of pesticides on lands that the Wildlife Conservation Board purchases or assists in purchases. They have a proposal in front of the board that is currently being discussed, I think today, according to my staff, to ban the use of glyphosate, especially on any Wildlife Conservation Board lands that were purchased by these funds, which would take tools away from the ability to control noxious weeds. I have a copy of this letter that I've recommended that the board review and distribute if they choose to do so, suggesting that that's a pretty bad suggestion to ban the use of any herbicide or any weed control tool on these lands. I can read this letter to you in total, but I'm sure you have a copy of that, correct?
We do.
So at this point in time, I would just like to say that it's focused on glyphosate. The board has discussed this recently and are taking public comments. And that's what this letter's purpose is, a public comment to dispute the banning of the use of herbicides, for example, on Wildlife Conservation Board properties that are purchased with their funds. Oftentimes those funds are given to the Fish and Wildlife Service, et cetera, which you guys probably know more than I do about. But this definitely is a problem. I will tell you that there's some encouragement. The California IPC executive director thinks that the board itself does not support this proposal. They don't think there's enough votes to actually pass that. But I would prefer to be safe and ask that you provide this letter disagreeing with that assumption.
And then, Mr. Smith, I had just one question on the letter. Is it new lands that easements are on, or does it impact those that already do have easements on their property? Is it existing or just for all new?
This is for the policy, from what I gather, for ongoing or any property that they currently own. It would ban the use of glyphosate, for example, on all those properties.
All right. Questions from colleagues? Supervisor Howe?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to include the carbon copies to both Senator Dolly and Senator Dolly.
Suggestion taken. We can definitely help with that. That's a great idea. Thank you. And if Wendy won't retire soon, I hope.
So there's nothing to stop them now from not using it, correct? I mean, they can use it however they want. Not at all or targeted areas, but this would just eliminate it altogether.
Exactly. So, and it's mostly focused on glyphosate, Roundup, mm-hmm. but that's not the total criteria here. It will move into other herbicide classes. Basically, it's sort of an attack on herbicide, pesticide use on their lands.
Thank you.
Yeah, without a strategic use at the right time, you get into quite a mess.
Yeah. Take tools away from us when we're trying to control invasive species, noxious weeds, So it's pretty big.
Colleagues, any more questions or motion?
Just one more.
One more question.
Are these lands included in the local integrated pest management plan or group for the lands in Siskiyou County? Are they participants in that?
I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't know.
Okay. It should be.
Should be.
There's a significant amount of land.
I'll know shortly.
Thank you.
Any other comments, board members? With that,
so if I understand this right, the Wildlife Conservation Board wants to ban the use of certain pesticides on their property?
So the proposal is to stop the use of glyphosate on all Wildlife Conservation Board purchase properties. So the proposal was brought to the board for consideration, which it currently is under public comment right now, to ban the use of it on their property or on the properties that they purchased, which means that they give Fish and Wildlife money to buy land, but that's pretty common where the money comes from to purchase private lands and put it back into the public interest. That's the lands that they're talking about also.
So why are we wanting to interfere with what they want to do with their own property?
Because the not just weed problem that they're going to promote is right. going to affect every single one of our private lands without question. So we want to make sure that they keep options.
So this is what the commentary is for, to make them aware of?
Yes, that's it.
But they're still going to do that on their property?
They can do it or not, depending on what they choose to do. But banning a tool that may be the only successful tool to control not just weed, and protect the rest of California's wildlands and private property would be short-sighted. We're trying to eliminate that. It's not a good idea to ban it. It's a better idea to use the tools wisely. Basically, that's what we're saying here.
Yeah. Is it fair to say in many respects it's just a good neighbor policy?
It's a good neighbor policy.
Right. Sure.
I wrestled this with Leafy Spurge with the federal agency about 15 years ago or so, with an outbreak in Scott Valley where the federal government wasn't treating their lands, and at that time it came pretty close to having a quarantine on any exported crop from the private lands in that valley.
So, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm just trying to understand this better. Because by the same token, it's no different than a private landowner who doesn't treat their property. All you got to do is look at Starthus, right? And so, in the bigger scheme of things, how is this going to play out in the long run? And this county has always been about private property rights. So I have a hard time telling someone what they can't do with the property.
So there's something I can address. Star thistle is a weed of common occurrence. It's a B-rated weed. It's not on the noxious weed A list. If that private property owner had A-listed weeds on his property, he would be encouraged to control those. We would help him do that. But if that was refused, there are some tools that we do have to address that. Okay.
Can you tell
we
me
try not property? To do that. But
can you tell me how many properties that in the county that's affected by this?
By the Wildlife Commission?
Yep.
Nope, cannot. I don't know
at
that.
At least one would be the Big Springs.
Big Springs would be one, definitely. Okay. Wildlife, bought that whole branch over there.
We have several in Scott Valley, too.
There's quite a number of them.
In the future, there would be helpful information for me when I'm making a decision.
Okay.
Right? Talking one piece of property, state, trust me, I'm not on the other side of the equation here. I'm just trying to understand it better.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm getting all the information I needed to make this decision.
Yeah, I got that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Through the chair. I don't think we're saying here to tell them what they can or can't do. We're just saying leave the tool in the box so that if it does get out of hand, because they can choose to do it or not now. So why ban it, especially if you get into a problem?
So they are not doing it. Right.
And that's fine. We're not saying you have to, right? Unless you get into a problem where you have to come in and say, hey.
This is a statewide policy. Mm-hmm. It just affects Siskiyou County.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I hear you, though. Point taken.
With that, there's no other comment. I would make a motion. A motion to approve.
That's the recommended motion?
Yeah. With the amendment,
correct.
With the amendment?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, of course, with the amendments, which I believe were Supervisor Hopps, CC.
Okay, and who was second? Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Hopps?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
I guess.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. And then just one technical question. When that does get edited for the CC, can I send it today, or will it be a DocuSend or something like that this Monday?
I don't have the actual letter in my possession, so it's something that Diane has. Okay. Let Diane know to add the CC to it, and then we can get it processed.
I'll be certain to check my phone, Mr. Smith, today if it sounds like timeliness was an issue. I'll be sure to check it and try to docu-sign it.
Okay.
And then, just real quick, no hurry on this, Jeff. Just globally, I would like to know more about how this property is within 60 County. Right?
That's a good question. So I'll come back with that if you like.
No worry.
Okay.
You have plenty in your plan.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, Mr. Smith, we're going to go on to you again with another subject. And I see a couple of former department heads here that failed retirement. That's a compliment to both of them. But Mr. Smith, if you want to talk about you have the floor for the Wolf presentation and the manner with which you deem fit.
My participation here is going to be short and sweet. I'm going to introduce Mr. Patrick Griffin, our retired agricultural commissioner, and our current Siskiyou County Department of Agriculture with liaison for Siskiyou County, and let him carry on here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, can we go ahead and start this slideshow, and I will talk as we see some wolves.
I just have a notation about videos. I don't have a presentation connected to
it. If they're online or they're on a thumb drive.
And if we need a couple minutes, Ms. Forrester, I know you filled it for somebody, so. Wendy? We'll take 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Just so that can be done, Mr. Smith.